away we go here on a Tuesday morning. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're off and rolling for the seventh day of April, 2020. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, Hammer. We got another beauty day on the way today. You like yesterday? You like today? Sunshine, high of 13 degrees. A little bit later, maybe a little late day cloud, but overall a very nice day. Enjoy it because we are going to cool down. Like Thursday, which is the final day before the long weekend, the high on Thursday is going to be plus +3. And there's actually flurries in the forecast for Thursday into Friday. Flurries, not snow. So don't panic, but it is going to get cooler. So enjoy the day today. A zero is the current temperature. And with that, we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm excellent. You're right. Well, I shouldn't say excellent. That would be a little bit on the strong side. But the weather sure helps coming out of here yesterday and yesterday afternoon. I think a high of 14 felt awfully good. Just cruising around, going for a little walk, a little run, doing a little grocery shopping, all good to go.
Yeah. Was I alone in noting that there seemed to be more people out yesterday? Or maybe in the time of day I went out for my dog walk. I went out a little bit early yesterday, about 5:15.
Yeah.
And people were everywhere. Now, I'm not talking about, like, really close, but I'm just talking about...
Sure.
I was out in a golf course.
Yeah,
like, there's tons of people out.
Yeah.
I live near a golf course. Tons of people out there. Dogs. Cats. I saw a cat being walked yesterday.
A cat walker.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. I don't think the cat was into it, but I think the people are like, I'm going outside, and the cat's coming with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In your neighborhood, somebody took their cat for a walk.
That's
Did you not immediately stop them, turn them the other way, and send them home?
I don't deal with cat people.
You can't walk cats.
Well, they're
cats
walking
can't
their cat.
Be walked.
They're walking their cat. They probably picked it up for most of it, but the cat was out there. The cat probably enjoyed the first 5 minutes of it, and then it's like, all right, there's no birds out here to catch, so let me get out of here.
My daughter tried that once with one of our cats, actually bought the harness. She wanted a harness because our cats are indoor cats, but they tend to escape once in a while. So she wanted a harness to take the cat out. Well, after about, I don't know, half a dozen scratches on her arm, she decided, you know what? That harness, that's money wasted right there. Not going to work.
And so back it went?
No. It was already on the cat. It's done. I think it was an Amazon purchase, so it takes a lot of effort to try to send those back. I wasn't going for it.
Yeah, right. Don't even bother. I think
learn
as far and that's as we get to our spring, and I saw some pictures yesterday. You get pictures all over the world, and you don't know how relevant or the angle they're taking, but certainly in Central Park in New York City, they're showing everybody walking. I don't know how exactly you restrict all of it. You know, I see we're here locally, Gatineau Park for a while, now Petrie Island is shut down. There's certain places that people go. I guess what, just walk in your neighborhood is what they're probably asking.
Uh-huh.
For myself, I'm across from a park. I actually live very close to the Prime Minister as well and the Governor General of South Rockcliffe.
Yes, neighbors.
So we kind of share a property. But you go to any of these areas. I was out yesterday. I mean, that's a simple pattern of where people like to walk and run. So I guess we'll have to figure out the whole spacing thing as more and more people want to get outside on beautiful days.
Well, if you are going outside right now, and the it's not quite sunrise yet, but it's getting close, enjoy the full moon. It is like super full.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow it is the full moon, and tomorrow is actually the what's the one where it's the really bright moon? What do they call that again? The brightest moon of the year.
Blood moon.
Yeah, blood moon or something. Whatever
nice.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that this is a blood moon, but tomorrow is officially the closest that the moon and the Earth are all year. So I think it would be the brightest, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
I come across as knowing a lot of things, but I am not an astronomer, okay, or whatever it would be.
What is your weakness?
Not a space expert.
But you walk out in that moon, there was, what, 2 summers ago, I can remember coming in, must have been working the old morning shift, and there was this beautiful moon as you look down Wellington, right across from the Parliament buildings. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get a picture of that. Then you go and take a picture with your phone, which the phone cameras nowadays are pretty good, but it never does it justice, right? You're kind of like, really? That like, it looks so good.
Yeah.
How come when I go to take a picture? But that was bright and beautiful this morning. And also I've noticed 4:45, first chirps of the day, which are always nice. The birds start coming out.
Yeah.
That's a surefire sign that the old spring is on its way.
All the birds are going, freezing my ass off out here. It could be a little bit warmer.
What do you mean calling for snow? Hey? The geese have come up. What are they doing? The squirrels are out. Everything's going on.
They enjoy the weather a little bit right now, but I see that our friend on Twitter that runs the Yow Weather Record account, I think his name is Rolf. So he was doing a contest of when will be the first day in Ottawa we reach 20 degrees,
And then he shut it down because I guess he did his long-range weather modeling and see there appears to be no trend in Ottawa at this point, no far-reaching weather trend that said we're going to get to 20 degrees at any point in the month of April. So, we'll take 13. Yesterday was beautiful. I'll take that. But apparently 20 is not on the horizon.
That's a stretch for April, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. And we do this all the time. It's kind of an April, and then we get into May. We had all felt before the negativity of the real world to come along. This is like our perfect winter. The Sens were bad. Belleville was great. The San Jose Sharks sucked. We were looking forward to the draft lottery. And also, the winter had not been that much of a grind, right? We had predicted that the days would start getting longer on December 21st, and we were accurate at that. And it has really not been that bad of a winter. So that's not the complaint. The complaint is, unfortunately, reality has touched us all. We don't like it.
Yes, exactly. I will say that, and I'm, again, no expert here, but I am guessing that flooding will not be an issue this year, as it has been, we've had two once-in-100-year floods in 3 years, including last year.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at my pictures, because I took a picture. The one day I went out on last year to help sandbag the worst of it. I'm trying to find. I want to say that was the end of April.
Yeah, it was. It was right around that time. Certainly the weather had changed a little bit. The previous, fall, we had the whole tornado. And let's also face facts here of a lot of the tough stuff we're going through. I know there's a lot of people, I don't know about the flooding, but I know as far as the tornadoes coming through that are still in recovery mode, right?
Yeah.
That none of that has necessarily been figured out. Now you're dealing with all the upheaval of the economy and everything else that's happening. But it was starting to trend towards a little warmer, so I would go close to end of April.
It was. Hang on here. No, it was. Yeah, April the 20, looks like 25th or 26th.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right after the, there's a picture of the massive fire here in the Byward Market that I could see right out my back window.
Yeah.
So that was April the 12th. So, we're coming up with some really fun anniversaries.
Oh, there you go.
Flooding,
you got
fires.
It all, eh?
Oh, there's a picture of Brendan Shanahan looking sad after the Leafs lost in the Game 7 of the playoffs that I stole off television.
Well, there you
that
go.
Makes you feel
That's
better, doesn't
bad.
It? Still got that one as well.
And if I think about the flooding, think about, first of all the teamwork and everybody with sandbags and trying to help it, but was also the fella, one of the neighborhoods there, is that where Gary Galley and them live, where he had the portable dike? And everybody was just kind of doing, there was almost like a neighborhood watch where people were coming to look and see if that thing, I think it was inflatable, was it not? That was keeping one of the whole neighborhoods there, and they had done this to keep the water down. So God forbid, hopefully a good spring for everybody. I think we got enough to worry about.
Yeah. Well, there's a picture of me winning the Dutch-Italian Open golf.
Is that golf?
Yeah. Oh, there's my trip to Southern Ontario, my golf trip. There's me and Gabby Dabrowski when she came in for a visit.
There you
tennis
go.
Tennis player.
Hey.
My daughter's high school graduation, Tulip Festival.
That's what you got to do now. You got to go through all the memories. Where's the Guelph women's ice hockey team winning the national championship?
That was St. Patrick's Day, as
a
matter of fact.
Okay,
yes, it was.
Okay.
Around this time next year, hopefully, you'll be looking back. You'll be outside, but you'll be looking back at your photos of you in front of your laptop.
Yeah.
Finishing second in your trivia Zoom competition with friends and family members.
Or madly searching through Netflix or HBO to crave to find something new to watch. Which, by the way, thanks to everybody.
You found something?
I mentioned this yesterday. I threw it out there. Hey, anybody got any ideas? We'd run through Ozark. We got this. We've done this family sweet spot, which is already now. Now that we're on to show number two. Has already been thrown into upheaval because daughter number two has, we wanted to get her involved, so she came down. So thanks to all the people that threw out, and we stumbled upon, or not stumbled upon, but The Outsider. The Outsider.
Yes.
Okay. You watched that?
I watched this.
What's it about?
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Is that it's a series as well, or a movie?
Yeah, it's a 10-parter.
Okay.
Based on a Stephen King novel?
Yes.
Jason Bateman in it as well.
Yes. Yeah, so for some reason, I end up on Jason Bateman, and I really like him, and he stars in this. He's not the main star, but he's a star, and he directs it as well. But not letting the cat out of the bag. I mean,
how many episodes are you in?
One. We do one a night. So although daughter number two came down and said, let's do two tomorrow night. And I said, no, this is the way it works in our house.
Wow.
This is what worked for Ozark. Okay.
Got to go slow here.
Okay, exactly. We got to slow play this.
You go back on your electronics.
It's dinner. Okay, we have it's dog walk and schoolwork and finishing stuff and it's dinner. And then it's a couple of games of Kahoot. Okay.
Okay, what's Kahoot?
Kahoot is, have you been to 67? It's this trivia thing that they do on, you can do it, play it online. It's a fun game. If everybody has a cell phone, you can do trivia.
My kids are too young.
No. There's like 40,000 Kahoots. You can make up your own. So it's a little trivia thing, and you play it with your phone. It's pretty fun. Kahoot, Kahoot.it. Pretty
All
fun.
Right.
Anyway, a couple of games of Kahoot, then everybody kind of does their thing. I do work for the show. Like 9:15, 9:30, we convene for one episode of a show to kind of end the day where we're not watching bad news, going to bed, not feeling terrible about the world. And good. Watched The Outsider last night. It's a keeper. Episode one was good. Going to go on, and all of a sudden it's like, let's watch two shows tomorrow. And I'm like, no. And then I immediately outvoted. Yes. 9 o'clock instead of 9:30.
Oh, wow.
So now we're into two shows.
Yeah.
And that's, then it's all going to be over. Yeah.
You're losing your house.
In 6 days. Well, everybody's going stir crazy. Everybody's going to be over in 6 days, and then we'll have to find another show.
I told you, Killing Eve, it's on Crave. Get to that.
People have seen it.
Good. Oh.
People have seen it. So I suggested that because you recommended that one.
Yeah. And good.
Seen it, done it. So nobody had seen this one. So we're into The Outsider. So anybody who's seen that one?
Strong play. Good,
yeah.
good call on that one.
Solid front to back?
Yes.
Without letting the cat out of the bag, is there a season two or does it wrap up?
I don't think there's going to be a season two.
Okay. All right. So it's a one seasoner. All right. So Simmer, sounds like you haven't watched it. So there you
no,
go.
No. Yeah. No. And again, hard time to get into a lot of the series, but certainly for Mr. Bateman, boy, what a career, a comeback. Did he disappear for about 20 years? Right.
I don't even remember him from, what did he do before?
Yeah, he was on a sitcom,
well,
right?
His sister was on Family Ties,
yes.
No?
Yes, Justine.
And she was the star, and he was on a couple of other kind of bit parts, and then I know he did something previous to Dodgeball, but it was almost like gone, and now I'm going to say that he is now the modern-day Dennis Quaid, who appeared in many a movie, and now this guy's come along. Does he play the same character in every show that he's in?
No.
Definitely not
in this one.
Okay, okay.
This is a much more serious, Ozark is somewhat serious, yeah. Although it's crazy serious.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is much more serious. If you like your television a little bit on the darker side.
Yeah.
So, good call.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. 6:16. When we come back, how about Major League Baseball's plan to come back? This may be the first somewhat viable plan that we've heard from a North American professional sport about coming back. I say somewhat because, boy, there's a long, long box with a lot of boxes to be checked here before this goes off. But at least it's a plan. We'll let you in on what baseball plans to do to possibly return maybe as soon as late May or early June. That's when we come back right here on TSN 1200.
Is TSN 1200.
Welcome back. How you doing? 6:22 here on a Tuesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. Hope you're having a good start to it. A little bit later on, Pierre McGuire will talk hockey with us coming up after 8. After 9 o'clock, Chris Weidman, former Ottawa Senator defenseman, has spent this past hockey season playing in the, Anaheim system with the San Diego Gulls. He is going to join us, and we'll get caught up on what's going on with him. Of course, last we saw Chris Weidman, I think he was riding around in an Uber, was he not? His last time with the Sens, Uber time. So Chris Weidman will join us on the show, and we'll relive in part with him the 2017 playoff run with the Ottawa Senators, of which he played, I think, 17 of the 19 games? I believe it was.
In and around that, had played the majority, and you think back to his career, can still remember him in training camp watching him. I think at the time was on an American League contract. Boy, oh boy, did he have the great hockey sense and the skill. Not the biggest, not the greatest skater, but it was Evgeny Malkin against Pittsburgh that fell on him, that literally tore his hamstring. And if you've ever dealt with any, which I have, hamstring injuries and a partial tear on the old right side that I still feel 30 years later, it's a really tough injury. And from that to, I think, what happened in the Uber to lots of other things, has had a tough time getting back to the National Hockey League. But at 30 years old, be honest with you, if it's not working here, get yourself over to Switzerland to the KHL, because Mr. Weidman could make himself some big cash playing in Europe. He is the absolute prototypical big ice defenseman.
All right. So we look forward to talking to Chris, and that will be a nice prelude to our best 10 of the last 10. We're into the final week of this series of games for you here on TSN 1200 tonight at 6 o'clock. We're moving on to the 2017 playoffs. We're going to have one game from each of the three playoff series the Sens played in that year. So tonight it's Game 6, Round 1, Sens and Bruins, the game in which Ottawa eliminated Boston in overtime on a goal by, of all guys, Clark MacArthur, who had missed almost the entire season. So we'll have that game for you. A little OT action for you tonight at 6 o'clock here on TSN 1200. And as well, on the guest list today, we're going to talk to Nicholas Moldenhauer, 15 years old, is going to apparently be up at 8:45 in the morning. We'll see about that. He was the first-round draft pick of the Ottawa 67s this past weekend. He's going to join us, I presume, from his home in Mississauga, so look forward to talking about him. I just saw some quotes from him on the weekend and some clips on the OHL website. Pretty excited to be heading to Ottawa, so we'll talk to him later this morning as well.
You know what, and you look at the Ottawa 67s, one of the checks and balances way back in the day, and hey, I don't like the OHL draft necessarily where it's manipulated, but when the kids want to have a choice and they don't have a choice in a draft, they have a choice if they want to play here, and if they're good enough education, they can go to the United States. You got to have a good program, and that's one of the things I will say. If you're a parent or an agent, it's not like, oh, just draft you and I'll go, and you end up in a terrible spot, which some kids do, and I think it ruins their career. The Ottawa 67s is a place that, and no matter what your path is, whether you want to be educated or ultimately play in the National Hockey League, this is one of the best development programs in all of hockey. And to me, that is great for Ottawa, and I'm sure we're going to see some great teams and great players come through here for many years to come.
All right, so we'll look forward to talking to him a little bit later on this morning as well. Certainly, always welcome your thoughts and anything we chat about. If you have questions for any of our guests as well, you can text us. That's the easiest way at 1212. Standard messaging rates apply. You can also tweet at us at TSN 1200. All right, so a few things to discuss. Golf has announced a revised schedule, we could see tournaments as soon as June. They've certainly left some spots open on the calendar for June, but as far as the majors go and the Tour Championship and the Ryder Cup, all of it is on except for the British Open. It was officially canceled yesterday. But they have announced a revised schedule starting, essentially, it looks like in the first week of August, certainly as far as the majors go, a revised PGA schedule that would include three of the four majors this year, PGA Championship in the month of August, the U.S. Open would move to September, and the Masters would be going on in the month of November, mid-November for the Masters. Downside is, that's 7 months away before the Masters would happen. Upside is, the Masters would happen, and if it comes off, it would mean we'd get two Masters in 5 months. Because we'd get, hopefully, the real Masters. Well, not that this wouldn't be the real Masters, but the Masters Masters. The Master of the Masters would be next April at this time. Two Masters in 5 months. I might pass out.
Yeah, no, that would not be bad. Also, to the weather, again, height of the Masters or when it's played around 25 November, still pretty warm, 19 by my calculation, about 70 degrees. What we'll have to do is a breakdown of the trees on the course so we can also do and track the foliage. And get a feel for how it's going to look. But the other part is, are crowds part of the whole thing on golf?
They have said that.
I meant in watching it, but my point is, if the Masters is being played and there's no people, and I see the golfers, and obviously you've got all the different camera angles, and you have the course itself, I guess I'm not as worried about it, I guess is my point. I really do, and you've been out in front of this for a while saying, I don't think it's a big effect where anything else, say if I turn on a basketball game in an empty arena or a football game, you're kind of like, wow, what's going on? These golf courses are so gorgeous. There's so many angles that you can put that if there's no people there, so be it. I think it'll still be for great TV.
Yeah, it would look odd for sure. Yeah. But I think, again, of all the sports, and again, it's an individual sport, not a team sport. I always thought golf, the possibility of golf being played seemed to be, in the times we live in right now, seemed to be the one that made the most sense.
Yeah.
Now we get the news that broke last night via a report from Jeff Passan from ESPN, that baseball is working on what it thinks is a viable plan to be playing games perhaps as soon as the month of June and off to training camps beginning in the month of May. So here's the way it would work in a nutshell. Baseball's plan to return to action. And apparently all of this has been, they're talking to the top health folks at CDC, the Center for Disease Control in the United States, the health experts, etc. One of the things we've heard, and we've heard it from Donald Trump, but we've actually heard from medical experts as well, is that, first of all, the number of test kits that are going to be available to test for COVID are becoming more and more. They're producing now millions and millions and millions of these. So the ability to test people quicker, and the ability to get test results quicker. Mm-hmm. There was a story, in the last week that said they were as close as having something, in 10 minutes? where you could take a swab and you'd know in 10 minutes whether someone was infected or not. That was the story a week ago. I don't know. I haven't heard a follow-up on that. Yeah. But presumably they're closing in on the ability to produce more tests and to get test results more quickly. So that is a prelude to what I'm about to lay out in here, what Major League Baseball plans to do. So baseball would be centralized in Arizona. There are 13 spring training or minor league parks in Arizona, plus Chase Field, which is the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks. So if you played games at all 13 of those parks, plus you played triple headers at Chase Field, you would be able to play 15 games in a day, which is there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball, so every team could play every single day or as much as baseball wanted to. So from a logistical point of view, it would be possible. Players would be essentially isolated. They'd be put up in hotels. They would be in the hotel. They would get on a bus. They would be driven to the various fields in and around Arizona. They would play the games. They would go back to the hotel, maybe for as much as 4.5 months. Again, this is what they're saying right now. We'll talk about the viability in just a second, but this is how they plan to play it. So the players held in, as would the umpires, et cetera. As far as the game itself goes, they would move to potentially an electronic strike zone. So you would not have an umpire leaning over the back of a catcher. So again, one of the biggest issue we're talking about is physical distancing, the importance of that. So removing the umpire from the equation, or maybe he stands off to the side so he can make rulings on at home plate, but having electronic strike zones, which is something they've talked about, right? The robotics of that.
Yeah, for sure.
No visits to the mound. They would be outlawed.
Ooh, awesome.
Okay. That would make the game.
And they're just going to keep the current double play situation where you're within 6 feet.
Exactly. Exactly. to try to make up for lost time, because the baseball season was supposed to be underway for, 2 or 3 weeks already at this point. We're talking about a June start. And trying to get in as many games as possible. Again, it's all about the filthy lucre at the end of the day. Nobody's doing it unless they're trying to make as much money as they can, trying to play as many games as they can. How do you feel about 7-inning doubleheaders and lots of them?
Yeah.
To help do all that, they would actually have, I don't know if it's unlimited roster, but they would, I think it's 20, is it 26 now? It used to be 25, 26 players on a roster. They're talking about having like tons of players, maybe minor leaguers.
Yeah.
So you would have an endless supply of players to play. This is one of the unique aspects. The players that aren't playing, or when you come back, you're not sitting in the dugout because you can't have people sitting beside each other. The players would actually, would be in the dugout, are sitting in the stands. 5 or 6 seats apart, which would the optics. Now there's no fans, by the way. There's no fans as any part of this. The optics of this and how it would look sounds crazy.
Yeah,
it sounds, off the charts. But as I've laid it out, and that's kind of a summary plan.
Yeah.
Do you think that sounds viable?
You know what? Some of it is. Do I wonder with the press conference on the weekend with the president? Do the teams? And this reminds me when there's talk about baseball and how it was during World War II, its relevance in 9/11. Has the mandate from the president on this call been, hey, do some plans? Doesn't mean it's going to happen. We got to give people hope right now. I do think it's possible. Now, to get to the feasibility, now you get into the testing portion, though. The problem is, as far as facilities to shower, to hotel, to everything else, the cross-contamination, as one player tests positive, it still feels like it's a house of cards. But maybe we arrive to it. I think in theory it's fine. Then the other part I think that they can end up doing, this is a made-for-TV event. They have to have the ability via advertising or other things to basically fill in the blanks of the empty stands. There must be stuff that they could do, computer-generated, electronically generated, to make it look a little better. So I think there's some merit to it, but there's obviously some questions. But I do think there's a push from the President of the United States for the sports to at least say, hey, listen, give people a little love here. Give a little hope. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but at least let's conceptually start trying to come up with some things.
Well, the illness part of it that you pointed out that makes it a house of cards, and I think on the surface everybody would agree with that, that was talked about, and that is mitigated somewhat, again, by the ability to test often and get results from tests quickly. So if someone tests positive, you can isolate that person away very quickly, and apparently, again, talking to the CDC folks, they feel like they would have the ability to take an infected person, and there shouldn't be, if they're in isolation and following the rules. In this kind of bubble environment we're talking about, there shouldn't be anybody. But if there was, and someone did, if you took them out of that environment, they would feel comfortable at this point being able to proceed with everybody else.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. Just trying to get my head around on daily life of where are the living confines, how are you getting the food, you're not around any other players, absolute isolation for every player to have the discipline that they're never cross-contaminated and that they also talked about. And hey, this is, as we're seeing, can attack anybody at any age, but they don't feel the risk to a pro athlete is as high. But then you get into, as you said, with the umpires, and you get into some of the older managers, right? And who are the people? They're going to be around the team. But just logistically to try to understand, and I also, I guess, be more curious than anything else, what is a baseball carry, if nothing? You know, obviously there's lots of that going around. How do you warm up? What are some of the things you do? So I think in theory there's some merit to it, but I think there's a lot to overcome. And I guess more importantly, probably a lot more to overcome as far as North America and where we're at facing this awful disease right now.
I mentioned that Jeff Passan of ESPN is the guy who put together this report, which was outlined last night on the ESPN website. And he was on the ESPN SportsCenter show late last night talking about the uniqueness of this idea.
This is going to be, Scott, potentially, if the games end up getting played like baseball on Mars, this is going to be something like we have never seen before in baseball. And I think because this season almost has an automatic asterisk to it because of all the complications and the oddities and the hoops that you're going to be jumping through just to get playing, I think that Major League Baseball and the players are going to be open to a whole lot of changes that make the game different than you have seen. And one of those is going to be, I think, players being mic'd up a lot, because this is going to be a television game. And what we saw in all access games on ESPN this spring, I think we're going to see a lot of if games do wind up getting played this season.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah. Again, you know, it's like, I like that aspect of it. Look, when we look back upon this season, if we ever get back to quote normal, next year or beyond or whenever that might be, I think 2020, any sports that do end up getting played are always going to be thought of, oh, yeah, that was the year of the virus. That year either it doesn't count in my mind or you know, put an asterisk beside it in the record book or whatever it is. So doing these kind of out-of-the-box things, you know, electronic strike zones, players mic'd up, all that stuff. I think anything's on the table, frankly, at this point.
Well, and again, as a fan, all of our appetite, and we're not going to be negative about, oh my God, there's nobody at the game. For a lot of people, hey, you just want to watch something. And when you're into a local market and it comes to baseball, and as you said, it speaks to a lot of time the financials, it's 162 days that a sports radio station or sports TV in a local market is using. So there's lots of things you can do. And it actually takes me back to early ESPN when they had a lot of filler. They used to do a thing called Home Run Derby, and the Home Run Derby was actually from the 1960s, and it was a guy sitting there having a smoke, and he had two players that were doing Home Run Derby that had been taped, I'm assuming, in spring training in an empty stadium, and the one player would be getting interviewed while the other guy's hitting, and this back-and-forth exchange of, but it was awesome. There was something about it that was so simple, and that's where I first heard of my good friend Harmon Killebrew and some of these crazy names. So yeah, I think there's lots of things you can do with it. The question is, and this is, say, this is old super agent Scott Boras trying to figure out, how do my players get paid so I can get paid?
Yeah.
But you know what? This is where you're gonna have the balance, right? Of making sure 110% sure that nothing happens to the players, that you can honestly control the environment to that extent. That first of all, it's healthy, but you have the ability to honestly control that. That the one player won't say, "Hey, come on over to my room tonight. Let's play some video." You know, this is really curious how, and I guess we're looking at sheer numbers. If I expand a roster, would we say what, 30 players per team? And you have 32 major league teams, so we're going 1,000 players easy.
30 major league teams.
Okay, so
so 900, 1,000.
We're going to go 1,000 players.
Yep.
Now I get into staff and I get into training. How do I do my fitness training? How do I do my warm up? Where's the bullpen coach? Where's all the other stuff? And I guess I'm just assuming, guys, that this is not transferred by the baseball itself. So lots of things here to talk about, but as I said, I think they're just right now, along with golf and baseball, trying to give people a little bit of hope.
Yeah. No, I agree with all that. And again, if you're talking about, well, can it be spread by the baseball? Absolutely. Any surface, it could be on there. The point, though, goes back to the players would be tested when they get there.
Yeah.
They would be held in isolation. I'm assuming they would be tested often, maybe as much as every day. And again, the results of the tests would be available immediately. So you know someone is infected. Yeah. You remove that person out of it. So there shouldn't be, if everything works as they say it will, and the health experts are in agreement, there shouldn't be an issue
with anybody being infected, or
if someone is infected, the ability to pluck them out of the herd and let the and let everything carry on. As you said, right now, everything feels like in sports, at any workplace, everything's a house of cards.
As soon as somebody gets sick,
it's like, okay, well, they're gone. And then everybody that was associated in their little workspace is probably gone as well. Every person working right now is living that life. So putting these players and this sport in this bubble is the idea of the ability and the way to get around that.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, then you get into equipment and obviously the ability to clean it, to reuse the equipment, to whatever it ends up being. But as I said, you can understand. And for the players themselves, this gives everybody just a little bit of hope. I guess also, and you get into the testing protocol, which we saw, of course, back in the day when this all started with the Utah Jazz. Should said player test positive at what point in the day do you go on and play the game, or how do you do it? As I said, but hey, they're coming up with concepts, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's lots of, hopefully we're just flat out in a better spot where people have a little more confidence both in where we're at in flattening the curve of this, but more importantly, as I said, a lot of things, whether it be, we're not going to see a vaccine, but the ability to test, or hopefully at some point we have some type of drugs that can at least minimize the risk when somebody ends up with it.
So I asked this question of the good listener, if you want to give us some feedback of when does a sport, and we'll talk about what hockey might look like under a similar maybe after the break, but at what point does a sport jump the shark where you look at it as a fan and you go, that's not what I know, or that's not what I want to watch? Like, I understand I'm thirsty for my particular favorite sport or any sport, and I want to see games and I want to see competition. And if I'm stuck in my house, give me something fresh and new every single day.
Yeah.
But is there a point where it kind of jumps over to the other side where you go, this is stupid?
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll take a break, come back, we'll talk about that. Love your feedback, as always. Text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. We always keep the phone lines open for you anytime at 750-1200. Take a break. Come back with much more here on a Tuesday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Mersenne as well, and Nicholas Moldenhauer, the newest Ottawa 67's first-round draft pick, chosen on Saturday. It will all join us a little bit later, and don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. It's another best 10 of the last 10. We're moving into the final stretch run here, final three games for you, and we're going to choose one game from each of the three playoff series the Sens played in 2017, starting with tonight's game six. Memory serves, I think it was a Sunday afternoon. Sens and Bruins, game six, of course, in which Ottawa eliminated Boston in overtime.
And I don't remember game five, but I remember Craig Anderson was pissed off and motivated. I remember his wife, Nicole, flew up to Boston, and I believe the pictures were either pre and post game of them visiting together. That was a storyline. Also, I believe that's the year that Bruce Cassidy took over for Claude Julien and did a real nice job. And funny, we didn't think of any real expectations for Boston or knew what direction they were going, and here they sit right now as a powerhouse. And in what people say for the rankings, our good friend Butchie, a lot of people have him now for the old Jack Adams Trophy.
If and when I'm assuming awards, I know they've already canceled the NHL awards, but they'll be given out at some point, maybe remotely.
Maybe they'll have
a big Zoom meeting, huh? That appears to be the way to do it now.
Could be Zoom awards. You get all dolled up, you come out and you're all doing that. The NHL is interesting, guys, because you're trying to think of where each sport is at and how it's going to be relevant. It feels like, well, it doesn't feel like, the NFL draft is obviously ginormous, right? Like, this is a big, big deal. People are pumped for it. The NHL is probably trying to balance an 18-year-old draft of understanding, I really don't have to announce anything draft-wise. Here in Ottawa, we're certainly focused on it. But realistically, hey, let's wait and see if we're going to finish our regular season first, if we're going to have a playoff. The draft can be handled at another time, because to me, with the National Football League, obviously in the size and scope of it and the importance isn't the same. And I think that's probably part of the rationale for the NHL. Hey, we've got other things not to worry about, but we're not going to lay any plans out right now because the draft relevance isn't the same as the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, when the draft, if we're talking about a typical year in the NHL draft, right, the draft happens in the around the final week of the month of June, and then the new players immediately go to their new cities and they take part in the development camp along with the top prospects. Well, at this point, none of that stuff looks like it's going to happen. It looks, here in the city of Ottawa, they've now pretty much closed everything down until the end of June, which is typically when it would be. Now, do things open wide open on July 1st? Kind of difficult to think that's how it might be, but you're absolutely right. I mean, there is no hurry. There really is no hurry for the NFL as well. Right now, they're just going. There's a huge vacuum here. We can step into, and we can do something relatively safely. Is it the right thing to do in terms of the optics? You can debate that, but in terms of what it's the ability for it to conduct a draft online and televise it to the world and have absolutely 100% of certainly a football fans, but of sports fans concentrating on your product for as many as, well, the draft will be held over 3 days, but it'll be the, certainly the week leading up to and probably the week after all the time. You'll own sports for about 2 weeks if you're the NFL.
Yeah, no, very much so. And right now, I don't feel it's in poor taste. And again, this is a fine line, a little bit of an American mentality. There's very much a push, which is in poor taste when it comes to Donald Trump and restarting the economy for where it's realistically at. But as far as sports, giving some hope, giving something for people to just pick up and hey, is a draft in poor taste? Well, it's in poor taste if somebody is at a health risk, which again, doing it remotely, closing facilities down. I just think, like I said, I think this is something for people to follow, the lead up, the hype, the excitement. So as it sits today, I don't have an issue with it.
All right. So we laid out baseball's plan, as ESPN wrote last night for you in the last segment, plan to return to games. And again, these are initial stages, but this is the first time in which one of the team sports has kind of laid out something that if you look at it on the surface, you go, okay, maybe that's a possibility involving playing basically, players going into isolation, playing all the games in Arizona at spring training fields and at the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks. There are enough fields and that field to be able to play a, quote, full slate of games on every single day, 15 games with 30 teams. It would be possible. Again, there would be some oddities. So everything from umpires not calling balls and strikes, which we've seen in minor league baseball, but now accelerating that to bring it to major league baseball, to no mound visits, no visits period, seven inning doubleheaders is a possibility to try to make up for a lost ground, miking players. So it's having expanded rosters, having the players that aren't playing sitting in the stands and not beside each other in the dugout. It'll be odd if it comes off as it says it will to, and watching it on television with no fans in the stands will be really, really odd.
Yeah.
But at this point, if you're a sports fan, are you like, just give me anything that's relatively close to what I'm used to and I am all in? Or as I said in the last segment, does any sport, and we can fast forward it to hockey as well, do you reach a point where you try to change it up so much just in an effort to get the games where people will go, no, that takes it too far?
Yeah.
Like if we have hockey players
in
the stands because they can't sit beside each other on the bench, and let's say catapults under the seats because, hey, they want to get a good matchup, and Zdeno Chara has just come on, and he's clambered up into the stands, and then they want to get him back out there for a matchup, so he's catapulted out of the stands and back on the ice. Like, is that too far?
Oh, it could be Blades of Glory. All of a sudden, the escape blade comes, cuts somebody's neck, they're dead. Probably not. Here's one thing that is interesting, and this is, as you have these things, first of all, let's go baseball. Baseball, this may be a chance for them to actually change their boring sport and change their rules and say, oh, we did this and it actually worked and we'll use it going forward. But the great part about baseball is that we've all been conditioned that Grapefruit League baseball is great, right? Now, I know there's crowds, but the slow pace of baseball and for where they're at right now to cart this out, I don't think is a big deal. Issue for the National Hockey League is your expectations of the playoffs, right? And the NHL playoffs are special. Do I feel that? Now, the athletes, first of all, I've got to, when I turn in, say, hey, they're bought in. They're into this. They don't think it's a big joke. That's one thing to overcome. Couple of things. No spittoon in the dugout, so they're going to have to get rid of the chew and the seeds.
Yep.
And then this is the nice part for the fine sport of ice hockey. We could actually remove the glass because the glass is there actually to help the fans from not getting hit by the puck. So what about a nice ice hockey match with no glass?
Hey,
using boards.
What if I'm a defenseman and my play is glassing out?
Exactly. exactly.
My game is gone.
And exactly. And that's why most of you are gone. Okay. And that's why the glass is always there. And I love the rule because the glass is not there to be used as a plane. The glass is there to protect the fans.
What about my bone-crunching hits?
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm sending a guy right over the boards.
Well, first of all, because of this, you're not allowed to hit. And
you've gone too far.
Sport of ice hockey, you have to be 6 feet away from the guy. So Big Z, first of all, you're not even eligible because we got no room for you on the ice surface. So let's go to something different. No, you know what? That's the part, the integrity of it. When you turn in, I think baseball could control some things. I'll look at the athletes right away and feel like, does a hockey player who's told to report to North Dakota and says, where the F is North Dakota for NHL playoffs and be sequestered, is there a full buy-in that they really want to do this? That's the part. What you're summarizing is that is the integrity of the sport compromised? And usually you can read that by the athletes' reactions.
Right, right. So what would hockey have to do in terms of somewhat radical changes for you to say, yeah, it's gone? You know, we were having some fun with that one, obviously.
Yeah.
But if they went to, in an effort to get games going again, and actually, I was just about to say, if they went to 4-on-4, but really, I mean, if we're talking about one of the big issues is trying to, as best they can, mitigate physical contact, which is going to make what makes the return of, at this point, hockey and later on football in the world we live in right now is the physical contact that the sport is a natural part of the sport. In baseball, I could make the argument that there's not a whole lot of physical contact, right? A guy gets a hit, stands at first base, he's standing beside the first baseman. But by and large, there's not a lot of physical contact between the players. So if you're talking about the ability of an infected player potentially, and there's, again, not supposed to be any infected players under baseball's plan, but to transmit the illness to someone else, I would say of all the team sports, baseball would have, what, would you agree, if you compared it to, certainly with football hockey, but the NBA has the least amount of physical contact.
Yeah, no, it would assume. I don't know, catcher go back a little further. The big question is probably controlling the baseball, right? And the old throwing the baseball around when you've had a double play or when somebody's out, even when you're warming up.
But how many times does the pitcher go to his mouth to lick his fingers, right?
Yeah,
right?
And I guess
the baseball,
there'll be no Dave Steebing when you're
cup
playing
adjustment?
As well. No cup adjustments.
Oh, wow, okay. That's on the outside, though.
And I hope with the expanded roster as well, this will stop us from changing pitchers a bunch, so we'll have a little bit more flow to the game. No, I think all the sports, like I said, the NBA, I guess because I feel almost like from a video game standpoint, I know TV-wise, crowds are huge, it's a big thing. The NHL, we're so conditioned on the importance of the sport and the crowd interaction when it comes to playoff time. Well, I guess you could say that about every sport, but that would be, I think, for as Canadians, well, that's the biggest adjustment for me, is that this idea, this to go all these players to North Dakota just to play a playoffs personally. Now, well, no, let me say that professionally, I love it because it'll keep us going. Personally, I'm not really for it. If you can't get to a point where you can play some home games, now maybe you do series differently where there's not the travel back and forth to buildings where you play the first 4-1 place, other three the other place. But I find that a little hard that I'd really be into watching a bunch of people in North Dakota play in the NHL playoffs with no fans.
Don't they have to? If the NBA comes back and does some sort of tournament, Major League Baseball returns in June, doesn't the NHL have to come back somehow, in some way, in some form, or else be lost in the shuffle? And what little popularity they have left south of the border could get absolutely wiped out. Couldn't the pressure be on the NHL to come back no matter what if the NBA and Major League Baseball returns?
To me, if those other sports, and I'll compare it more with basketball than baseball, as I said, kind of baseball, you know.
Their season's parallel, yeah.
Yeah, and with what they're talking about, I can see it from a health point of view. I would, to me, if the NBA is returning, there's no reason the NHL shouldn't return, right? The sports, I'm saying they're similar, but they're from a health perspective, I would not see a huge difference. You know, the hockey, is hockey more physical? Yes, it is, but let's not kid ourselves. Anybody that's ever watched basketball or played basketball, there's a hell of a lot of physical contact.
Well, body on body contact, when you're obviously wearing next to nothing.
Yeah, sweat flying around and whatever. I mean, you know, you could make the argument, actually, hockey players with all the equipment they have on in terms of, you know, stuff coming into your face or whatever.
Yeah.
That's really other than that, you're covered. So
are we gonna see full cages?
I think if basketball comes back, I don't see any reason why hockey wouldn't.
I would agree with that. The difference, and it comes down to the financial component, is that if you take this now, and again, remember conceptually, even if you expand it to 24, pretty quickly you'd be down to 16. So half of your industry is out of business. The Ottawa Senators will not come back. So how does that kind of relate? And is that maybe for some market it's the right thing to do? The big difference, and we've discussed the NBA, if I put LeBron James right now playing against the Clippers or playing against the Raptors in a final or playing against Milwaukee, the international draw, and I think for the players, even their feeling that, wow, we're being watched all over the world, is just so different than hockey, right? Like, what are each of the markets in the United States? Do they say this is great from a TV perspective? Because that's what it really is. The NHL, at the end of the day, is a very regionalized sport, and even more so in the United States.
So to your point, and again, I think it was Elliot Friedman that first forwarded this idea that, again, everybody's spitballing at this point, that in hockey they're talking about, speaking of these bubble locations, like in baseball it would be Arizona. In hockey they're looking at, I had heard Saskatoon last week. Now the report from Elliot Friedman is maybe North Dakota. They've got a very nice facility at the University of North Dakota. You could play all your playoffs there. Again, you put the players in isolation. Is there enough hotel room for all the teams? Certainly there are some logistical questions.
Yeah.
But to your bigger point, Simmer, of would you, as a hockey fan, you are going to watch the Stanley Cup. Am I all in on the Stanley Cup playoffs every year? Absolutely. As a hockey fan, I'm all in on it. Yeah. But this hockey playoff, let's think about this right now. You would be playing in an empty hockey rink with no fans.
Yeah.
So you're losing all atmosphere.
Oh,
you're losing all the aspect of quote-unquote home ice advantage. As a player and as a team, this whole part of the fans giving me momentum in a game, that's all lost.
Oh, yeah.
Like the game itself with no fans in the stands and no atmosphere, I think the game substantially change. It becomes almost like shinny.
Well, we don't feel, or what were the stats last year, right? The home ice is kind of gone from hockey, but is it an atmosphere? I won't call it home ice advantage. What I will call for anybody watching is that from the time we watch the anthem, and if it's a double or whatever, we're so pumped as fans to end up watching it. Now to the players, and then the next phases that you have to control, because as I said, I think there's some things you can do on TV, and you could probably superimpose some of the advertising, not make it look as bad. The sound effects of an empty hockey rink, and you've been to a few, and whatever level you play at, it doesn't sound, that's not what we're used to, right? I'm not used to hearing everybody talk. I'm not used to every sound of the skate to the sticks to the thing. It creates a very empty feeling. Would you agree? And so to that point, you know, how do players feel? Like, does a player show up and realize, you know what, wow, man, I just want to get bounced here in the first round? Or do they feel like the fact that the Stanley Cup is attainable, it's got to be a huge psychological adjustment for the players as well?
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. Until it actually happens, all of these things, until they actually happen and I'm sitting in my living room and I see it play out in front of me, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. The sports fan in me goes, give me anything at this point. Yeah, I'd absolutely love it. For me, like golf, again, I go back to this a million times. If there are fans, you know, for the majors and everything, the fans are a big part of it. But you know what? If the fans aren't there, it's a little less for me for golf. These other sports where fans are a huge part of it, and the noise in the background with the announcers yelling and everything, that's all part and parcel of what gives me enjoyment as a fan when I watch these games on television or listen on the radio. And if that's all gone, that atmosphere and everything around it would be very odd. And I don't know how I would feel. I think I know how I feel, but until it actually plays itself out, I can't 100% say that I know that I would enjoy it.
No, and again, the golf courses, especially the majors or any of the ones that the pros play, the golf course itself is so beautiful. And I do think baseball, because we also turn in a lot of baseball games that there's nobody at, I think they've conditioned where we could get used to that, where when it comes to the hockey, that would be really tough. And as to this whole one place and the format of the playoffs, and to Hammer's question, it's a really good one. I don't have an answer. Would the NHL be better off to take a pass and say we're going to start back up next October? I do think that's a legitimate question, because I do think compromising the integrity of it, but there may be lots of other people that say, no way. You know what? You got to come back at least in something. And is that also just a smaller format where, come on, forget about 24, forget about 16. Why don't you go down to a final eight, find a couple of different spots, play a best of three, and give somebody a Stanley Cup? To me, that would be a legitimate discussion as well.
All right. Thoughts on anything we chat about, always welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Phone lines open at 750-1200. A little past 7 o'clock, we'll get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. Come back, talk more about this. Again, baseball's legit at this point, looks like. Plan on a return to play at some point, maybe as early as the month of June. So we'll get more into that. To talk about golf, it is out with a revised schedule, including three majors and a Ryder Cup and a Tour Championship. We'll get you a little bit of hockey news, some football stuff as well. We got a busy show on the way. Glad you're with us here on a Tuesday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.